Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show. So now we go to Whitner FaceTiming with Shep. And Whitner's like, hey, having a birthday party Saturday. The theme is literary figures. So that can be an author or a character. It's basically just a reason to see what stupid shit Craig and Sally come up with. Because you know they don't read.
Yeah. Shep loves this. He's like, I'm going to dress up like 100 years of solitude. Gosh. He's going to show up with like a white bang and be like, guys, I'm Susan Sontag.
Just like his head is going to be in a fishbowl. He's like, guys, it's the bell jar. It's going to be all fun. Oh, Charlie's there. I think she's very attractive. I would totally be open to going out with her. Oh, wow, you would? Would you lower yourself into going out with a 24-year-old supermodel beauty queen with a perfect body and face, Shep? Really? And Rodrigo's like, Austin and Craig went to see Austin told me that Craig went to see Charlie at the art gallery she works at, so...
Yeah, and so Shep is like, okay, gosh, I mean, well, I was in the hot tub with Craig and Sally a week and a half ago, but whatever, if Craig likes her, you know, gangs away. First of all, I'm not going to jockey for position or anything like that, but hashtag Megalodon's necklace coming in. Ooh, I'm too old for that shit. Maybe I'm too old for her, but what do I know? I'm just a regular William Faulkner, if I may. Gosh.
Maybe I'm too old for her, frankly, because she's 27. Which, you know, now Leonardo DiCaprio has broken his 25-year-old lady rule, and he is dating a 27-year-old.
Wow.
So, you know, they're all doing it now. They're all doing it. So he's like, yeah, I got a lot of shit last year when people were like, well, of course Sienna did this or that. She's 26. But then again, I am maturing at a glacial pace. Oh, gosh, I'm just a boy.
I'm maturing more slowly than it took to resolve the Vietnam War, the details which are available in the Ken Burns documentary called The Vietnam War. Gosh.
So he says that Craig is just an interesting cat, and he stopped trying to figure out Craig a long time ago, and he's just suggesting that Austin do the same, because they're trying to reset where, you know, they have to every season, where they're like, we love each other now, and then two episodes later, they're like, I hate you. So Rodrigo's like, yeah, well, I think that Austin might have FOMO. He's like, oh, poor Austin. He can't make a decision for Christ sometimes, can he?
Rodrigo's like, no, man, that's kind of his problem. He's like, I mean, you know, what did he say? It's a winner. We remember we were at Folly and we just got surfing. Blah, 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 blah. Shep, could you stop doing the flashback music? We'll let post-production do it for us. Okay, Gar, sorry about that.
So the dad calls and... He's like, hey, I was thinking I could pull right up to the storage unit and start looking at furniture for my new house. And the dad's like, whatever you want to do, we're ready for you, Garsh.
So they, so Shep is like, look, the grass is always greener, and I get that. It's just human nature. As Isaac Asimov once wrote, the tree that grows next to the robot is stronger than the robot that's built next to the tree.
Did he say that?
Not sure.
But no one else has read it in this group, so I'm going to stick with it.
No one can fact check me.
Yeah, exactly. I recently bought this new house because I just wanted a house on Sullivan's Island, which is one of my favorite places in the world. It's bigger. It's like historical. 4 bedrooms, 4 baths. I don't even know what to put in it. And we see clips of this new house, and it's huge. It's 5,000 square feet, 4 bedroom, 4 bath, like you said, and it's $3.25 million.
Yeah, it's a big one. He's like, my dad, I think, is kind of excited to get a little bit of his stuff out. So they pull up to the family barn, and his dad, Rip, waits by the fence, and he's like, hi there. And he's like, my parents were a big factor in me buying this house because my brother bought a big house with his 2 kids and a wife, and my sister the same thing. So for them, and in the normal trajectory of a guy's life, I'm 10 years behind, maybe 15. Gosh.
Yeah, and the dad's like, I just want to make sure you get some wooden Venetian blinds. Those add value to a house.
Do you remember that? I will never forget that when the dad was like, you need to have wooden blinds, Shepherd. You need to have them. Very important for resale. And they were like those huge clicky clacky, you know, blinds. They're huge that go over the windows. And that was all the dad cared about. He's like, you need to get those blinds, Shep. It's very important.
All right, Dad. We'll think it over.
It's been years and that stuck with me. So Shep's like, whoa, Rodrigo, get excited. Biggest swap meet in South Carolina right here, right? So they go into the storage unit and it's just all, you know, God knows where half of this furniture came from. Like plantations all over the South. I mean, I don't know. It's like a lot of
very antique,
a lot of old shit. Yeah, very antique-y stuff.
It's all like probably like great antique. Like if you're antiquing, it's probably all great stuff. But the funny thing is, it's like, is this really going to be, is this Shep's style? I mean, I don't know what Shep's style is, but I feel like it's not necessarily his style, but he's just happy to have items in his house.
Yeah, he's just going to throw shit in there.
Yeah, it'll be like banana peels.
He just wants like a sectional from IKEA and a surfboard. That's all this guy ever has in his house. Definitely. So he's just like, Dad, put whatever you want to in there. So they do. They start going through it. And the dad's like, well, that's nice. Those are round flooring. Gosh, get those. And then there's like, of course, a big shellacked fish.
Yes. That
somebody got. And then the best part is where we see a we see 2 paintings actually of Shep as a teenager with his golf club over his shoulder, just posing like, gosh. And they're 2 side by side and they're exactly the same, but they're 2 years, they're separate times. But I just love that it's like, it's time, Shep. We got to get out there and get your yearly picture with your golf club over your shoulder.
Well, Cindy, our young man's turning into an adult man. Time to get the painting done. We got to get a painting of Shep with a golf club.
Yeah. So they go through shit and Rod's like, oh my God, I'm the designer and this is basically amazing. Like everything in here is basically wonderful. I mean, it's just great. I was like, is it? this is not great, but whatever. They load up on some crap and they're done.
I feel like individual pieces, again, I feel like they're all good antiques and individual pieces are probably great. But I feel like an entire house with that, I just don't feel like matches Shep's aesthetic. It's just basically his parents. It's his parents' stuff that they just put in the barn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see. The house is beautiful, though.
Gorgeous.
So we'll see. So then we go to Daniel Island, where Madison and Brett are driving to their new home on a golf cart. Let's see how much Brett's going to talk this time. I'm going to say 18 words.
I'm feeling emotional today because I drove through this neighborhood when I first moved to Charleston. I was like, I'm going to marry some old rich man and I'm going to live out here because I was like, the only way I was going to be able to do that was be if I married a rich guy. But sure enough, I married you.
He's like, yeah, you didn't marry an old rich man.
That's right. I got a hunky man of my own money. I'll finish the joke for you. That's okay.
Or at least I had my own money before I spent it on this house. We just sold our starter home on Daniel Island, and now we're moving into our forever home, which is right around the corner.
On Daniel Island.
They mention Daniel Island a lot. I feel like they're constantly like, I'm on Daniel Island. So they arrive, and their realtor's like, welcome in. Congratulations. I have a little something for you, but you can't drink this right away anyway. It's champagne. So
says who, motherfucker? Get that thing open.
Unless you got a husk of corn, I don't care what you got.
So So they go. It's a nice house. Beautiful kitchen. It's very good. I mean, congratulations.
It's humongous. Oh, my gosh. How much money is she making? Well, this is a $3.9 million house. 6 bedrooms, 7 bath, another 5,000 square footer. And she's like, well, it's a high price, but it's just perfect. I mean, if I got a bill to pay, I'm going to turn that kitchen into a kitchen beautician, and I'll make sure it's taken care of because my dreams are coming true. Look at this. Pregnant, wedding ring, house, check, check, check.
Makes me a little nervous. When people make these proclamations on reality TV, that's like, you know, Bravo like bookmarks it and like, okay, we're going to turn this into a black and white flashback in about 5 years when her life falls apart. Okay, great. You know, they always do that, but it is actually very exciting. And now we know why she was so messy with Audrey. She's like, gotta make sure this paycheck is coming in. I've got a house.
Yeah, I love pregnant Madison just coming in and causing mess and then going home to her hot husband.
I know,
you know,
she's like, wow, isn't it amazing I can still make money off of fucking with Austin's life and I don't even have to fuck him.
So they look and they're looking rooms and she's getting choked up because she's like,
I'm gonna have babies in here.
They look in the primary bedroom. And
this room will make all these 6 other kids. No, I'm kidding. We'll do it all over the place. Kitchen island, sofa, everywhere around this house, Brett.
He's like, well, I thought we were going to say the sex tapes. This is a sex tape room. She goes, well, we're going to have to leak those to pay for this shit. That's for sure. So she says,
the fact that I'm even approved for something like this after being called white trash for how many years?
And then we go flashback 2018 and Madison's like, shit, fuck him. He said that I was a white trash hairstylist. 2020. Yeah, well, you're a terrible person and you're a trash can.
That was the worst. Craig was so vile that reunion. But they've always been so mean to Madison. And now look, she's like the star. The line for Madison at BravoCon was huge. Yeah, she did win. She really did. So they go outside and she's like,
life is so good. It doesn't even feel real. Yeah, this is crazy.
He's like, I can only imagine what your dad would be saying if he walked in. So she starts to choke up and she's happy. Another milestone in her life. Now we go to Doolittle's pet store, in case you couldn't figure that one out. It's also the mantra for all the men on the show. Doolittle.
Welcome to Do the Least Cat Store, where every man trying to get a reputation defending cat in Charleston.
Please come visit our sister store we just opened up on Daniel Island called What Job?
Hey, my friend's getting a kitten for the first time. Oh, I think that's him right there. He's the one spitting all over the window. Craig, crazy you!
Well,
cats are going to hate him. He's going to be giving them showers every time he talks to them.
They need to get him a slobber guard, if that's even a thing. Do they sell slobber guards? They should for dogs that slobber, just like a little tray, a bit. So Austin is like, Rodrigo's cat had a litter, and I don't like coming home to just like an empty house. So I really want to have a couple cats excited to see me when I walk in. I was like, ugh. You're being such a fuckboy right now. Being like, oh, I'm lonely. I'm sad. I just want 2 little cats. I was like, ugh. And I hate that. I was like, that's so sweet that he wants 2 cats. But I'm a pushover when it comes to cats. I can't help it, everyone. I can't help it.
Well, also, I don't know that he's met cats before. Because I don't know that cats are the pet you get if you want something to be excited that too. When you come home. But cats are like, you're here. Feed me, you fucking moron.
It's like 2 pages. Fuck, where are you all day? Oh, look who's back. Yeah. Zuka's back. Just give us our food. Actually, my friend's cat is so cute. And the cat that I had growing up definitely would get excited when I'd come home. Like, my cat had dog-like qualities. And my friend's cat has dog-like qualities, like, always wants to play. Like, they're definitely cats that are super social. But you just never know. You never know what you're going to get. And
I think so. I think I've known a lot of cats like that. But I just mean, like, the basic reputation for a cat isn't like, oh, my God, look who's happy to see me.
Yeah, the baseline cat is like, oh, well, I guess our solitude is broken up. Someone stupid's here. Let's go in the other room.
Wow, you just walked in the door. That means you know how to use it. You want to try walking out again?
Well, I guess I'll go back under the bed where sophisticated people live.
Are you having dinner? Good. Time to make a poop. Just be right here in my little house that you've inconveniently stored in the kitchen, you moron.
Oh. Well, that's nice that you put a glass on the counter. Here, let me just move that for you onto the floor. Bye.
So he's picked out 2 names,
and they are Piper and Martini, which I think is funny because it's like a pipe and martini, really. It's like paraphernalia. It's like paraphernalia and booze.
Piper and Martini. Like, those do not sound like names that Austin would name a cat. Piper and Piper, maybe. Piper, get over here. But Martini is like, I don't know. I'm surprised you didn't like name one of them something like Keg. I don't know, Miller. I guess he can't name it after a competition, but like Funnel or
Polo, Dockers, get in here.
Dave Matthews, get in here.
Yeah, so the clerk's like, so you got one cat, you got two cats. He goes, oh, I got two girls. They're actually the background on my phone. Look. He's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Never seen pets as a background on a phone before. Thanks for sharing that with me. Popper Martini, their names. Good fucking choice. Okay. Who let you have cats?
So you know what? We need one with a bell. Can we get a bell for the cat? Put a bell on the cat. I'm like, oh, that the last thing you need is a bell on a cat. Do you know how much cats move? You're just gonna be hearing that tinkling nonstop. No bells on the cats.
Cats already hate you without you forcing a bell on them.
Right.
And Craig's like,
well, I suggest getting this litter box because it has walls and, you know, they have privacy.
I think anyone with a cat should be suggesting those cat boxes that clean themselves, the self-cleaning cat boxes with crystal litter.
Oh.
Yes. I got that from my cousin. And I still feel like a badass because that's a good cat gift. That is a good cat gift right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think for cats, well, you definitely want to get a scratching post, right? And then you know what they love? You know what a cat loves? A pole with a little feathery thing that dangles off of it. Ugh, that is like, that's basically like getting a MacBook Pro for a cat. Like that's, they wait in line for that shit. Did you hear?
Well, I'm making a commitment to get cats. That's very daunting. Look at me. I'm making a commitment, America.
Yeah. By the way, there's a coffee shop next door. Why don't we just like close out here and head over there to the coffee shop? Okay. So they go to the coffee shop. And I was like, all that shopping for my cat makes me hungry, Craig. It's like, oh, cool. Cheers to the kitties. Thanks, man. Dude, I think that you should like come over and see me being a cat dad in actions. That way America can see that I'm actually like really adorable. Right, Craig?
Maybe I'll come over before we go to Wit's birthday party. What are you going to dress as? It's literary times. Come on, Craig. You know what that means, right? Books. It's books, Craig. He's like, well, I haven't thought about it. So I'm going to ask ChatGPT. So ChatGPT, with everything you know about me and our relationship so far, I have to dress like a literary figure. Give me a couple of options what I should dress as.
ChatGPT is like, bloop, 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 bloop. Talk less. Bloop, 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 bloop. Form tighter sentences. Bloop, 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 bloop.
You can be one of the rocks in Jurassic Park.
That was a book.
So Austin's like, so
was Fraggle Rock ever a book?
Bloop, 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 bloop.
And of course they give him, Austin Jay Gatsby.
And Craig goes, damn, that's a compliment. I was like, is it? Have you read the book? Do you know that story? Do you know that, you know, Jay Gatsby is like a faker? You know what happens to him at the end? I mean, spoiler alert, but is that?
It actually is kind of perfect. That's kind of a perfect Craig.
I know.
Costume.
So then also Dorian Gray and Craig goes, 50 Shades of Gray. And like, this is sad when Austin, I mean, I can't, but like when Austin's like, no. Dorian Gray is the guy who has a portrait and he stays young forever and people love him because he's not only hot, but he's got cats, okay? And he stays young as long as his portrait remains intact, okay?
Is that 50 Shades of Gray? I love that. I love it, Craig. Oh, jeez. He's like, well, I'm not really a huge theme party guy, okay? He's like, oh, you're scarred from having to dress up in the Hamptons.
And then we see Summer House, where Paige and Craig were wearing their matching costume for NASCAR.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Craig saying he's not really, like, doesn't really like theme parties when he's been cosplaying as a Southerner for literally 10 years on this show is hilarious. But Craig is like, well, now it's after my breakup. And I will say that I tried the lover version of myself. And now I'm back to the party version of myself.
Like, whoa, single Craig's back. Thank God, single Craig's back. It's amazing.
Yeah, because like whether it's like Sally or Charlie, I'm having fun being able to kiss someone if I want to, guilt free. I'm the architect of my own demise, haha. So Austin's like, oh, yeah, well, who would it have been? Who would you kiss, Craig? Who'd you kiss?
So he says Charlie he has chemistry with, and well, maybe he has chemistry with Sally too. I mean, geez, like they were hanging out in the hot tub, and Austin's like, I have FOMO because, like, God, do I miss being single? Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, maybe I do. And so Craig's like, oh my God, like I would do anything not to be single right now. I didn't want to be single, but someone made that decision for me. But Austin, God, and this half in, half out is bullshit.
Look. I'm having fun being a flirt. I was really good in a relationship. I loved it. Everything in life is give and take and sacrifices and stuff. And when it's the right person and if you're her person, then it doesn't matter and it works. If you're willing to put the work in, it's like in that romantic story, The Bonfire of the Vanities. It's about loving someone and then they love you back, right? No. So now we go to Whitner's. I'm still waking up. Sorry. Like, I don't know. Bonfire of the Vanities was the best I could do this morning.
I was actually going back through my.
It's a great book, by the way. Did you ever read
memory
it?
Memory of that.
Did you ever
read it? Yes, I did actually.
I love that book. Yeah. That book is so good. That's such a
I even like
book.
The movie.
Oh.
I was even fine with the movie. I liked the movie too. So then we go to Whitner's house and Vanita's there because she's the decorator for parties, guys. And she helps him set up. They have to steam a table runner thing. So if we get to watch him do that and he uses glass plates. I mean, this guy is kind of an adult.
But they're not only
he's steaming a table runner and using glass plates. I mean, what the hell?
And they're not only glass plates, they're trauma plates because they come attached with memories. Of an ex. So Whitner says, Whitner's backstory is he's like, my mom has always been big on theme parties. Anything from, you know, Cole Porter to the 50s to eras of history. It makes for some great family photos. That's so not my
and we see pictures of his. Yeah, we see pictures of his extremely Cole Porter type.
Cole Porter
party having. I mean, this looks like a family, and you know that they have some Santa music parties.
And they wear same pajamas around Christmas. Oh God, you should have seen our Doris Kearns Goodwin party. Ugh, that was a great holiday.
And Vanita says she has been friendly with Whit's mother for almost 10 years because she used to work at a store and that was one of the frequent shoppers. And then she put two and two that they were family because the mom really didn't even speak about her kids at all. So she had no idea about the kids.
But then it turns out that who she thought the mom was someone else entirely because the mom takes off a mask like Mission Impossible. Guess what? I was in costume, honey. Total stranger.
She's like, oh my God, it's Cole Porter. So Whitner's like, my mom is very anti-establishment, straight up. I mean, she'd be an anarchist if she could. And I don't know what that means, but this is a mother we need to meet.
You know what?
The mother who doesn't give a shit about her children, makes them dress like Cole Porter for her amusement, and then wants to overthrow the government.
I have to tell you.
Where is she?
I love an anarchist Cole Porter enthusiasts. She's like, fuck rules, fuck everything. Okay, everyone, time for some Cole Porter.
Seriously, where is she? So people are going to come over later, so you know they get it set up pretty much. And then we get more of Whitner's backstory. He's like, you know, like, I've only used these plates once and it was an anniversary a couple years ago. I haven't used them since, but I have licked my wounds, so we can use them now. I was engaged in August 2023, and she walked out 2 months later. And yeah, I was with her for 3 years, and we lived happily for two and a half. And then I did love her, but one day it was just over. She just said she needed space, and that was it. I don't know. She just said it was things I did wrong. I had no idea what I did.
Yeah, no idea. No, I begged for couples therapy. She Mystery. Didn't do it. And then finally I came home. She'd moved out. And so we don't know what happened. Maybe she became a lesbian.
A lot missing there.
Yeah.
No, when a guy's like, oh, what? I mean, just suddenly she moved out. I mean, she said it was things I did, but I've got no idea what they could be. I tried everything. God, when she was about to leave, I even tried couples therapy after 6 months of her telling me that she didn't like a lot of the shit that I did. I have no idea.
It's such a shame.
What could it have been?
We had just gotten that cat. So Benita's like, well, have you tried dating since? He's like, yeah, to varying degrees of not successful, but I was heartbroken and probably still am to some degree. I'm injured. So the question is, I don't know, for some reason this feels sincere to me. It doesn't feel fuckboy, but this is very fuckboy-y to be like, oh, yeah, something happened. Oh, I'm just innocent in this. And she just walked away. I mean, like she probably said a million times, I'm leaving you because you don't listen to my needs. I mean, I don't know what happened. She just never said what was wrong.
He seems like a really nice guy. And in the first episode, he was talking about how, yeah, he went to law school with Craig, but they didn't really know each other because he was 2 years younger than Craig, even though he passed the bar way before Craig. And that he doesn't really relate to these people because he actually has a job that he has to go to. So at first I thought, okay, he's being cast as kind of the new Craig. You know, that's like the one who has to work that doesn't really fit in. And they're going to make fun of him for having a job and stuff. But it's hard not to have some cynicism because this is Southern charm.
Yes.
And I know what the men on Southern charm are like. And so I just don't trust them. But yeah, he does seem pretty nice so far.
I think also I'm like influenced because someone came onto Crappy Hour was like, my friend is friends with Whitner and says that he's actually a really stand-up guy. So I'm like, guys, well, it's a fact. He's a stand-up guy. What can I say? But I am being, I think, clouded by that. But he does actually seem like he might be a stand-up guy. We'll see. Right now, he's torturing.
I don't know. Right now, it just needs to keep me entertained, mm-hmm. Okay? So we go to the getting ready montage. Everybody's getting ready. Sally comes to Charlie's to get ready with her. And then Craig is getting his hair and makeup done. And he's like, yeah, this is like a single boy costume. Yo, Craig, I'd be a pretty good wingman for you tonight because I don't think I'll be getting the chicks wearing my costume. He's dressed like one of the Harry Potter kids, right? Does he say which one?
It's actually Hermione, I think. I think he's actually in Harry Potter drag. I think it said Hermione. He's wearing like a little skirt, I believe. I could be wrong. I mean, again, when I watched this, I was a little drunk. So I seem to remember that it said, I was like, Hermione? But I didn't have the energy or the effort to go back 5 seconds to read what it said. So I'm sure we will find out soon. But Craig is like, but when he says, yeah, I'm probably not getting the chicks wearing this. And Craig's like, the reason you're not getting chicks, Austin, is because you have a girlfriend. I mean, Craig's not wrong on that. You shouldn't be concerned about that.
So Whitner is offering his dog Bacchus some mojito, and the dog's like, "Oh, why'd you name me that?" Vanita comes in and she's like, here comes the bride. It's no longer Vanita, it's Medusa.
You know, I would have liked a better costume from Vanita because she basically was dressed very prettily, looked very nice, but she had like kind of like a some sort of accessory that was like a little sort of little snake. I'm like, if you're going to do Medusa, you got to do Medusa. I'm sorry. Medusa has been done on this channel before. And in fact, I actually don't even think you can touch Medusa after What's-Her-Face did it. What was her name? Why am I blanking on her?
Heidi?
No.
You're Fallon. Gone. You're out.
Fallon. Remember when Fallon did Medusa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Fallon did Medusa with the snakes in her hair on Atlanta. Yeah.
But
didn't Heidi Klum just do that?
Yes,
she had like snakes actually moving.
I just feel like when people do Medusa, they really commit to the bit. And I feel like Vanita did not commit to the bit. I feel like there could have just been a better literary character for her to do, you know?
So everyone else comes in and, you know, drinks and stuff. And Molly comes in dressed as, I think, Gandalf. And it's funny. She's got like a full beard and everything. And so she's hot. And then Shep's like, Lonesome Dove, Captain Gus McCrae. And I was like, of course he dressed as that one. Of course he dressed as a sloppy, messy one. I loved it.
I was so happy that he brought a Lonesome Dove reference because you had like that like 3 months of like Lonesome Dove that you were going through Lonesome Dove.
And it was a lot of pages.
It was just such a hilarious, like random no pun intended, chapter in your life. Like, you found this book that was so big in the 80s. That was a mini series. It was like acclaimed, it was like a whole thing. And it was so random that you sort of like were going through this Lonesome Dove phase. And then the fact that Shep, of all people, is like, I'm referencing Lonesome Dove. I was like, oh, it's perfect.
I know. It's like, were we reading that at the same time? That's hilarious.
Well,
but now I'm reading Great Expectations.
No.
And I've just discovered Miss Havisham. She just came into the book yesterday and I'm dying. That shit is hilarious. Why didn't anybody tell me? I don't even care about the rest of the book. I just want it all to be her.
Yeah.
And for those of you who haven't read it, this is her first scene. She's wearing a wedding dress that's all old. Like, she's never changed. Something happened on her wedding day.
Spoiler.
And so she's really depressed. And she's never taken off this wedding dress. Okay. Yeah, so it's all yellow.
She's like Jazzy of Potomac.
This is like years later. And she's like super sad and like withering away and just like waiting to rot in her house. And so this kid comes in. She makes this kid come to her house and she goes, do you see this? And she puts her hands over his heart or over her heart. And he goes, your heart? And she goes, broken.
That's like, yes. It should have been Miss Havisham.
Mrs. Havisham. Hero, my new literary hero. That's who I would have dressed as. So,
by the way, Great Expectations.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, Great Expectations is a concept that is totally foreign to this TV show. So, Shep is.
No, it's not. It's what all the women have when they come on here. And they end with Lonesome Dove, the ending.
With Bonfire of the Vanities. So, no, they end with White Noise by Don DeLillo. So,
gosh, a postmodern masterpiece. Oh,
maybe it's Infinite Jest.
Oh, well, Gus McRae, he's a lazy, loquacious, and charismatic rake with a fondness for alcohol, gambling, and whores. Ah, gosh.
Does sound like you, buddy. So then Sally comes, and this is the best one. She's like, I'm kissing Kate Barlow from Holes. And Shep goes, from what? Holes. What's that? You don't know Holes the movie / the book? It was the book first, so it counts. Holes? Holes. Holes? Holes.
I don't want to make fun of her selection. I never read Holes. I never saw the movie. And obviously the name Holes.
Are you coming out, Dre? She didn't read the book, Holes. Kidding. She's just reminding the men that she's single.
Just reminding everyone of options. So
yeah, they're like, who are you? She's like, a hole. Lots of holes. Okay? Pick one.
Molly is like, well, some girls dress like Sally and Vanita, and some girls are Gandalf. Because, you know, of course, like, Sally and Vanita are like, you know, they're you know, showing off. They're looking as like, beautiful, look, and they're like, you know, their costume is really more like they wedge their costume into like looking hot. And Sally is like covered in a robe with a fake beard and a hat and a staff, and like her face is unrecognizable, and she's sweating, and she's like, she's like melting in the corner.
And Sally's like, oh wow, Molly didn't really even see you there. She goes, you shall not pass.
You don't get it.
Yeah, and then Vanita takes her to the side, and Sally's like, yeah, that was really weird.
Was
Vanita's
so weird.
Like, yeah, I could feel the tension. Oh, really? You had tension with Gandalf? Stop it.
Well, one doesn't just simply walk into this party. So
that was a Lord of the Rings reference, guys.
Molly is like, she's sweating in the corner, which is hilarious. Reminds me of the story, my friend from high school, she sometimes doesn't like always get things. And she told a story about how she once was invited to like an adult Halloween party, not like sexy times, but you know, like when it's like adult Halloween, people sort of like costumes have a different look, you know, they usually are like sexy this, sexy that, or they're just kind of, they have like a certain vibe. And she went dressed as an M&M. She went to this party, like a fancy Halloween party, dressed as like a kid's costume in an M&M. And it's like, could you imagine? You're the M&M and everyone's wearing kind of like, you know, sexy costumes. And
they're like, yeah, they're like wearing a tuxedo and a masquerade
mask. And she's an M&M. That's reminds me, that's what this is. Molly as Gandalf.
Yeah. So Sally's like, oh my God, I'm so bad with being fake. I just can't. Yeah. Oh my God, I just can't look someone in the face if they've been talking shit about me. So then Austin does show up as Hermione, which I love that for him. I didn't know that he was Hermione. She's my favorite.
Yeah.
Or as I used to call her, Hermione. Hermione. Because before the movies came out, I didn't know how to pronounce the names.
Yeah.
I just called her Hermione.
I still don't know how to pronounce it, to be honest. I'm like Hermione.
Hermione, I think.
Am I not Hormones? Hormones. Hormones Granger. Also, 10 points for Gryffindor. So Craig. Craig, meanwhile, he's dressed as, what's his face from Hook? Rufio.
How dare you not know who I am? I'm Rufio.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Craig comes dressed as Rufio. He was wearing his big blow-dried hair, which he wore at the BravoCon. It's like, where'd he come up with that hair? And I guess it was so successful on Rufio night that he just wore it to BravoCon, too. But he's got all this mascara on his face, all this eyeliner and mascara that's like looks like it's melting off, you know? And he is so proud of this. And he's another Sally who's like, it's from Hook. That was a book, you know, like dumbass. And as he goes to each person and no one knows who he is, you see him just start to crumble.
Yeah.
And it just, this is all it takes. Like every person who's like, who?
He's like, come on, man. It's from Hook.
Nobody gets it. And by the end of this episode, he's just furious. And I think it's because his costume has been denied.
Yeah, I think. Well, first of all, he looks like he's in Mad Max. That's his first problem. Because when I saw the previews, I thought it was a post-apocalyptic party when I saw Craig. I was like, oh, they're doing a Mad Max party. But then I saw Austin dressed as Harry Potter. I was like, oh, maybe they're doing movie party. I was like, I don't know. I don't get it. I'll see what happens. But this was not what I thought. Also, like a far cry from the Jay Gatsby and Dorian Gray suggestions from ChatGPT, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm the leader of the Lost Boys. And like, oh, that's nice. I'm holes. I represent holes. I'm lost and you're a hole.
Rufio looking for holes. I don't know. And so they kind of flirt a little bit, but awkwardly. And she says, Sally's like, oh, Craig asked me if he could play with my gun. He thought I meant in a sexual way. So then Craig's like, mommy, my hair was better before the wind got it. So people keep mingling.
Hair.
Rodrigo wears a shirt that says I'm Don Quixote. And then Madison arrives dressed like a little man. And no one really understands who she is. She's like,
hey, Shep, you know who I am?
He's like, no, tell me about yourself.
I'm Shepherd Rose.
Oh, and she holds up his book. And he's like, oh, my God, you nailed it. Shorts and a blazer. I might explore that in the near future.
And she looked like the Danish judge from Great British Bake Off. What was her name again? Remember the Danish judge that was on that show?
Oh, yeah. I forgot her name. That's funny.
She totally looked like her.
So
it's like, I did it better than you though. Okay. But I did get you a gift, Whitner.
And he's like, Sandwich. You did?
She goes, yeah, I got you your own shark tooth necklace.
Gosh. Wow. I mean, you nailed it. I think shorts and a blazer is a thing I might explore in the near future. That might be a wonderful decision for this lonesome dove.
All the bitches get shark teeth.
And then we see a clip of Shep giving Sienna that. And it still being embarrassingly hilarious. So now they go outside and Craig's like, oh, hey, Austin. So Shep is like, look, she stresses me, everybody, holding up his book. And Craig's like, is that the best thing that's ever happened to you?
Madison, you're way too well-dressed to be Shep.
And Rodrigo's like, the only thing she's missing is a 21-year-old girl on her arm. But other than that, Shep's kiss, huh? So then Charlie arrives and she's dressed as Daisy Buchanan. So, oh, she probably asked ChatGPT, what would Craig come dressed as? She's like, okay, I'll be Daisy. But alas, she's the only one.
I know. I like that ChatGPT even knows that they're going to be together. ChatGPT told them to dress like a couple.
So
he just didn't listen.
They all are like, oh my God, you look amazing. Who's Daisy Buchanan again? And Charles like, I'm Daisy Buchanan from The Great Gatsby. What are you? You ever see Hook? It was a movie that was like not well received. And I'm a character in it. And I think it was based on a book. You know,
Yeah, I'm the leader of the Lost Boys.
And she's like, uh-huh. So anyway, hi, everybody. And you just see him crumble inside. He's like, oh,
I could have been the Gatsby loser, and instead I chose this.
Well, also, was Hook actually based, like, was Rufio a character in Peter Pan? Because if not, then Craig is not following the rules of the party. Was Rufio a character from Hook?
Is Hook not a book?
I don't know. Maybe it was a book. I'm looking on, obviously I'm on the Wikipedia. I don't think it is a book. I mean, Peter Pan obviously is a book, but I don't think so.
I don't know. It's Craig. I mean,
yes, this is Craig. It's like very important for me to find out whether or not Craig violated the rules of this party.
Yeah. I mean, it's a literary party. What do you expect? It's Craig. So, Austin whispers like, oh my God, he's trying so hard. And Craig's little, you know, Craig can hear it because he knows Austin's in the room. So he's talking shit about him. And he's like, Rufio, you can tell Austin's talking about me. I clock more than he realizes. I'm not dumb.
Was that a reference to the alligator or no? The clock. Peter Pan jokes. So Craig is like, Austin, let's do a shot. And so I was like, I can make you one. Holes. And Craig's like, okay, you want to do one with us? So they're all getting together to do a shot, you know, which is always like which means fight's about to come. So they do the shots and everything.
And Craig, by the way, the shot is, they go, Austin says, what is this a shot of? And Craig goes, this is all we have. He just pours whatever's in the shaker into three little glasses. He doesn't even make a shot.
Yeah. definitely off the wagon now. So Craig is like, you know, a shot is just a mini drink. Wow. I mean, talk about a literary party. I mean, the wordsmith here. So Austin's like, yeah, I've been doing shots the past 3 years. I know. I know what a shot is, Craig. It's insane right now.
And Rodrigo's, Austin really likes to make little digs at Craig. And like, I think it's because he gets FOMO.
So Craig, so they do this shot. It takes a while for them to do it, but they do the shot. And so Sally is like, that didn't even taste like anything. And Craig's like, Sally is never happy with her shot. Yeah, because it's always in your hot tub, Craig.
Austin is so jealous.
That's insane right now. I'm not jealous at all, Craig.
Yeah, did you hear him? You're so jealous. You're locked up in your house. You and your kittens.
Craig, you've been locked up for 5 years and all of a sudden he emerges and he's fucking having fun. Am I right? God.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know why it bothers you. Just be yourself, man. Like, why can't you just be yourself? You're so jealous.
What? What? I am. Okay. All right. Guess what? I am being myself. I'm having late nights at my house, partying with everyone. It's been a blast. And for you to hate on fun, that's silly. It's insane right now. Oh, wait a second.
No, that was my line.
That's what you should be saying. Because if you had said that.
You're supposed to say, whoa, Craig has emerged. You started it.
Craig, I'm not mad, dude. You're insane.
You're the one that's bitter. You don't know yourself.
Oh, yeah? Shall I switch it around on you and pull a Craig Conover special? Why are you so unhappy?
He's like, oh, really? You're the one who's not happy. You're the only person here who's unhappy because you're living a lie. You're stuck in a relationship and you're not happy.
Oh, okay, Craig. You don't know anything. I got cats now, okay?
And everybody's like, oh, what? And the new girl's like, oh, my God.
So Craig's like, you told me you were jealous that I was single.
It's like, no, I did not ever say that. Yes, I did not ever say that.
You said
no,
it right.
I would never say that. I'm not jealous of anything you got going on. I promise you very much.
You said it right after JT said that Patricia was a bitch. I remember it exactly.
I mean, he did kind of say that. And Craig's like, okay, Austin, happy people don't tear people down. You're not happy.
Craig, you're the one. Craig, the master of tearing down. Like, Craig tears down too. I was like, and here you are, tearing people down. I didn't start it. Oh, yeah, well.
There you go, walking away. Whatever, mudblood.
Is this Austin's new thing? Is to start up by saying, and here you go, walking away. And here you go, tearing people down, insane right now.
Yeah. Wow, Craig really flew off the handle quick there. I think it's like,
What happened? What happened, Craig? Sad when a storyteller loses his cool.
Yeah. So they fight. He says, Austin says he's a dick and he calls him a fucking loser and it's the end. Wow. Austin and Craig are going at it for no reason. I mean, at least they know though. They're like, it's episode 3. Nothing's happened. Let's fight.
Yeah.
Let's just fight about something. Who cares? Fine. I'll criticize you for having cats now.
Yeah.
Okay. That's enough for us to go on. Let's just do that.
Yep. Well, everyone, that was fun. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thank you for the birthday love. Thank you, Ronnie. And
we love you. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
To many more on Channel 4.
That's right. And then the next birthday present comes later tonight with the return of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So we'll be back tomorrow with a full recap of that show, which I'm sure will be very exciting. So thanks, everyone, for being here.
Talk to you next time. Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.